The Infrastructure Show is brought to you by Wyss Janney Elsner Associates, engineers, architects, and materials scientists, solving complex problems in contemporary and historic structures since 1956. Learn more at wje.com.
Welcome to The Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer, and I'm the director of Northwestern University's Infrastructure Technology Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Tom Herman.
The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it.
Those who work in maintenance frequently find that their departments are regarded by top management as a cost rather than a contributor to the profitability of the enterprise. One reason this is so is that the value of equipment and systems maintenance is hard to quantify. As a result, many enterprises do not budget sufficient monies for maintenance.
Public transit is similar to other enterprises in this regard, as illustrated by the maintenance backlogs in some of the nation's largest transit systems in their Federal Transit Administration mandated State of Good Repair programs. However, one transit maintenance department in California has begun using an innovative budgeting process that has had impressive results in achieving improvements in the state of good repair of its infrastructure and its rolling stock. Today we talk with Michael Hirsch, who's Chief Operating Officer for the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority in San Jose, about what his maintenance department has accomplished by using asset inventory-based state of good repair analysis, which assigns values to maintenance that are easily comprehended by management and the public. Michael, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
First, can you give us a better idea of just what the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority is, what it does, what area it serves, and the kinds of vehicles and infrastructure that it works with?
Oh, I'm happy to do so. So our primary mission, we're the public transit provider for Silicon Valley or Santa Clara County. Our largest city is San Jose, the 10th largest city in the United States. We operate 450 buses and 99 light rail vehicles. Our operating area extends north to Palo Alto. Obviously, we go through cities of Sunnyvale, San Jose, south down to Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world, east San Jose and up to Fremont. But in addition to the transit system, we are also the congestion management agency. So we build freeway infrastructure. We're responsible for the efficient flow of traffic in the freeway infrastructure in our county. We are also the agency that is extending the Bay Area Rapid Transit, the BART system, from the county line down to San Jose. And that project's important because that's really what drove us to a state of good repair inventory and state of good repair-based capital maintenance program. We are home to Google, LinkedIn. I think everyone's familiar with Silicon Valley and the technology and innovation here. So we have a very tech-savvy, somewhat of a young ridership. It's an exciting area to operate a transit system in.
But it sounds like your agency is quite multimodal in that you have responsibility for the highway side as well as for public transit.
It is unique to have a transit system that's also involved with the design and ultimately the construction of underlying transportation systems, chiefly being the freeway system.
So focusing for a second on the transit system, what does state of good repair mean in terms of a transit system? How do you measure it? Is there some accepted standard of what is in a state of good repair? How do you know?
What a great question. If I could describe state of good repairs, I would describe it as a layer on top of a traditional based maintenance program. Maintenance folks are in the habit of taking an asset, performing regular preventive maintenance, corrective maintenance as needed. They bring the asset to the end of life, and then they hope that there's capital funding to replace the asset when it's deteriorated beyond its use. State of good repair recognizes an inventory where you know up front what the expected asset life is, and you program capital dollars over a long period of time, 10, 15, 20, even 30 years, so that you're not at the end of a useful life just searching for dollars to replace that. The FTA has really mandated that if you're going to build a new project, if you are competing for federal funds, you have to have a state of good repair inventory, and that you have to have a financial plan that backs up your state of good repair inventory. We got here, if you think, and in the introduction of your podcast, you talk about how the infrastructure in the United States got the way it did. Certainly in the 80s and 90s, we loved spending money for new systems, but we kind of had a blind eye to what are we going to do when these systems are aged. Look at Chicago and New York and Boston. This is changing now. This program is helping maintenance managers have a voice at the table so that there's money over the life of an asset to take care of it. It's measured really on a simple scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being a new asset. If you look at the entire asset system of a transit system, we are aiming to have an area of 3, which says that the asset has reached its middle life condition. There is some maintenance required, but it still achieves the in-service requirements, whether that be a bus or a piece of track or a substation. We're not looking to maintain brand new, but we're certainly looking to maintain it in a reliable condition.
Yeah, and in terms of being in midlife condition and being a 3, I can certainly relate to that. So does it change? Because what I understood from what you just said there, that a lot of this is how you structure your money and how you look at the assets that you have in order to know when your expenses are coming down the line. But does the system of being in a state of good repair system also change when you work on things? You sort of described the traditional method, which any of us who've had a used car know. You know, you kind of change the oil and you do those things, and then when crises hit, you respond to them. And when it finally breaks down, you try to figure out where the money is for a new one. So that's the standard way. Do you approach the actual maintenance that you do any differently than you would in a standard system?
On a capital basis, you do. There's still the traditional maintenance program where we're doing the preventive maintenance based on time or mileage. Particularly track is a good example. When you do the asset inventory, you know how many miles of track, how many of it is embedded, how many of it is ballast, and you know what areas, whether it's a curve or has a high traffic rate, you know what areas are going to decay faster compared to other areas. So that while we didn't set out to use the state of good repair inventory to drive our maintenance program, because you're inventorying the assets in detail, you develop a priority list for we're going to do this next, we'll do this after we do this. That feeds into the maintenance program to know that, you know, this is a risk area, we need to pay better attention to this area compared to, as an example, a low traffic area.
So the way you describe the role of the Federal Transit Administration in this, it sounds to me like, in contrast to what was done in the past, what they're saying is if you want money for new facilities, new infrastructure, new systems, you first have to devote resources to maintaining the old stuff.
Exactly. And from a maintenance manager's perspective, that was music to our ears. I will say we were led into this kicking and screaming, and it wasn't really the FTA. We also have the Metropolitan Transportation Commission here, which is a regional body who essentially handles the distribution of federal funds to the regional transit agencies. They had started something kind of state of good repair, pre-state of good repair. They had asked for a regional inventory of all the assets so they could understand, if you look to our north, San Francisco MTA, or Muni as we call it, BART to the east, and VTA, where do we line up together? Who needs to replace track? How much track needs to be replaced? Who needs to replace rolling stock? So we had already developed an inventory here in the Bay Area. It was called the Regional Transit Capital Inventory. At the same time, the FTA was becoming aware of the backlog, as I say, in Boston, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and realizing that there were new starts program, there were transit systems that were expanding, but there really wasn't enough focus on this stuff that was already in the ground. So for VTA, it wasn't difficult to take the work that had been done with the MTC inventory and apply it to the FTA state of good repair requirement. The driver here ultimately, as I say, was the BART extension. It's unique in Santa Clara County that the residents voted to tax themselves to invest in the transit system here, both in VTA and in the BART system. VTA is leading the project to expand the BART system, and then after the project is constructed, it will be handed over to Bay Area Rapid Transit to operate the system. VTA has worked with the FTA for the full funding grant agreement. And that's really where the state of good repair, the FTA basically said, well, show us how you're going to take care of it on a parallel path. They also said where the dollar is going to come to operate it, and that's a subject for another podcast. But they said where the dollar is going to come from to take care of your existing infrastructure. And that's where the asset-based inventory, understanding a piece of track is going to last this long, a light rail vehicle is going to last this long, line all of that up, match the capital forecast that you have year for year, and ultimately, the tool allows you to make spending decisions. You know, if we invest in this bus and instead of operate it for 12 years, could get two more years out of it, we could rearrange our capital funding and allow the smartest use of the dollars to get the maximum use out of our assets. I'd encourage your listeners to look to the FTA website. They've actually issued a database that's free for users. It's called Term Light. Applies to all transit systems, and I actually expect this to become a requirement for transit systems. If you're competing for dollars, you have to do it. I think ultimately, and certainly MAP 21, the most recent legislation for transportation dollars, state of good repair is a loud theme in that bill, and I, again, expect state of good repair to become a requirement, not just a smart way to do maintenance and capital funding strategy, but again, I think it'll be a requirement soon.
Decision makers, at least decision makers that I know something about, political decision makers, are much more interested in investing in new and having the opportunity to cut ribbons and pushing state of good repair to the front. It turns the game around. Did you get pushback from political leadership when that change came into effect?
We did not. And I certainly understand the question, and I think it's a legitimate fear. But I would say because we did develop the state of good repair inventory and did put a financial model that was demonstrable, we ultimately prevailed in the full funding grant agreement for the BART project, so the ribbon cutting is absolutely coming. The politicians can say that, and it's the truth, that VTA has a plan to lead the system in state of good repair far into the future, but also has a financial model that supports the residents' goals to expand the transit system. And they'll be cutting that ribbon on the BART project, it looks like, in 2017. So I think they need to be educated on that. But as soon as they understand that it makes the transit system long-term more viable, they get behind it.
And in terms of predicting the expected life of an asset, either a new one or one that's already in the ground working, is it more difficult with something that's in the midst of use? How do you predict the life of an asset, whether it's a new one or one that's already in use?
The FTA has helped us with that. The Term Light database that I mentioned has standard decay models. There's been a lot of research that's gone into the transit systems and how long they'll last. Certainly a piece of rail in San Jose will last longer than a piece of rail in Chicago, as an example, that's exposed to harsher weather elements. But I think the transit agency that periodically measures this system will understand the wear and be able to catalog where areas are wearing faster and in comparison to what would be seen as a normal lifetime.
So it seems to me from what you've said that the longer this approach is used, the better it'll get, because as cities begin to think this way, they'll keep data that's more specific, will be useful for them in the future in making these kind of judgments.
I would agree with that, and I think it'll be an excellent tool for transit agencies to be able to compare peer data. We'll be able to look at the age of a light rail vehicle in San Jose and compare it to San Diego and see that we are managing that asset to a life time or a life length that compares to our peers.
So there can be a little healthy competition among similar environments. You know, maybe Chicago would compete with Boston more so than San Jose in terms of the weather conditions. But if you have similar weather, you might, in ridership, you could compete a little bit.
Particularly if you're measuring the same aspects of that asset, yes.
So how do you measure the condition of the asset? How do you go from what you can see in the field or measure in the field to the 5-point scale that you described?
I don't think it's that simple. Here at VTA, we've done a series of surveys. Some are led by internal resources. Some we've hired expertise. We did a end-to-end analysis of our traction power substations, our overhead catenary systems. We have a scale internally of, you know, what is like new. We have a complete inventory of the installation dates, the major maintenance milestones on the equipment, and then can develop the ranking. The actual linking to the 1-5 scale is somewhat done by experience, by experts that have a wide range of experience. They've seen enough substations in the United States to know where ours compare to the other ones, where ours compare to substations that are older than ours, and can predict how long that's going to last.
Do you think that the fact of you operating, as you mentioned, in an environment where Google is, where LinkedIn, where there are these sort of young tech-savvy, high density of young tech-savvy people, has made it easier for your ridership to understand how you're operating?
You know, I don't think so. I think if you were to ask about the single biggest challenge facing this agency, it's how to grow ridership. In comparison to our neighbors, San Francisco and Oakland, we have a very widespread system. There's still an abundance of parking here. There's still a lot of single-occupant automobile drivers. I think the younger generation has a better understanding of just how important public transit system is, both in greenhouse gas reductions and making their commute time more productive. But it's still the number one challenge facing this agency, and I don't think that as much as I would like the Googlers and the Adobe folks to see that, I think they're still, at the end of the day, married to that automobile and the convenience that it provides.
Some of those high-tech employers in your area provide their own transportation for their employees. I assume that's competition for you, and you know, how does that interplay work?
I think it's a evolving issue right now. They do. Google, in particular, has a very thriving private transportation system. We've met with them, and one of the interesting characteristics there is that they want their employees to be able to work in that mode. They're concerned about the data. If they're on their laptops, their vehicles have their own Wi-Fi systems, and they have better control of their employees. They know that the intellectual data is really protected while they're on their commute. I think it's a concern for those technology companies. I think over time, and as they start to experience those vehicles aging, Google's at the height of their game right now, and they can afford to offer a premium service. But I think as their market gets more competitive and transportation costs go up, I think they're going to have to struggle with it.
Do you see ways in the future that you might collaborate with the employers who provide their own service?
Absolutely. In fact, we've been in discussions with several of the employers here to figure out if we can offer service that meets their needs. We have an EcoPass here so that employers can offer public transit to their entire employee base. And I think it's really where VTA needs to be heading in that direction. The growth forecast for this county is, and right now we are leading the economic recovery. The unemployment is low here. There are jobs here. And I think we are going to have to work together so that we're providing the public transit system that is in line with the goals of the vital economic drivers that we have here.
Are there other transit systems you're aware of in the U.S. or elsewhere in the world that are using the state of good repair approach? And if there are, is that something you've been watching?
Absolutely. You know, Chicago and Boston and Washington, D.C. get it now. Anybody that has a large capital need, a rolling stock replacement, I think that in the Bay Area, we're fortunate that MTC led the way with the regional database, regional inventory. So it was a little bit easier for us to respond to the FTA requirement. But as I mentioned earlier, I think this is going to become a way of life. I certainly, for a maintenance manager, as I say, I was led into this kicking and screaming. But then when I realized that it put the clear picture in front of the financial departments to see just what it's going to take care of the system into and beyond middle life into to a more senior age, from a maintenance perspective, it's absolutely worth the effort to come up with the inventory.
And kicking and screaming because I imagine it meant a lot of work up front to gather all the data that was necessary.
Exactly.
And then once you have that, is it the kind of thing where there's a steep learning curve and then it's not so bad once you're in the habit of collecting and keeping that kind of data?
I don't think there's a steep learning curve. It's literally just having the inventory down to the level of detail. We're talking about, you know, when you look at, for example, a bus depot or a bus yard, we're not listing that as a line item. It would go into the HVAC systems, the bus lifts, the fuel systems, the underground fuel storage systems at a bus yard. The inventory is broken down to a fairly finite level of detail. Once you have that inventory, as long as you have good practices, as you modify or add to your inventory, it becomes a fairly manageable exercise. You're not starting from scratch. You're just maintaining and updating as the system matures.
Do you find that looking back to the research that you described that predicted deterioration rates, when you look at assets in your system, are those curves accurate or are you able to update them based on your local experience?
I would say based on my experience. I think it's too early to tell at Santa Clara VTA, but I had a previous stint at San Francisco Muni, a system that's over 100 years old, the system with the cable cars. I got to experience firsthand how difficult it is to operate reliable revenue service if that capital investment hasn't been made. I'm very pleased with what I see here at VTA in the level of repair, the level of reliability that we do have in our systems. And I'm most comfortable that the 10, 15, 20-year financial plan recognizes that there'll need to be continued investment to maintain that reliability.
So it sounds to me like it really is making a difference in terms of the availability of resources to maintain the system.
It absolutely is. We measure bus reliability, and we're over 9,000, often 10,000 miles between failure. I know peer agencies that are happy when they have 4,000 or 5,000 miles between breakdown.
So that says you're catching things before the bus breaks down and keeping it on the road.
Exactly.
This sounds really interesting, and as you describe it to us, a game changer in terms of making sure that you protect the assets that you already have before and even while you're investing to meet new demands. I really appreciate you spending the time to educate us on this. This breakthrough management concept, I think that is making a difference for you, and I hope we'll see differences across the country.
Oh, and I do as well, and I certainly appreciate being invited to participate in your show.
Thank you very much. It's very good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.